ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मृदिरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 13 entitled The Hamsa Avatar Answers the Questions of the Son of Brahma, text 18. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Evam Prushto Mahadeva Swayam Bhurbhuta Bhavana Dhyayamana Prashna Bijam Nabhyapadyata Karmadhi. श्री भगवान उवाच एवं पृष्टो महादेवा स्वयं भूर्भवत भावना ध्यायमाना प्रश्न बीजं नाभ्यपद्यत कर्मधि। श्री भगवान उवाच एवं पृष्टो महादेवा स्वयं भूर्भूत भावना ध्यायमाना प्रश्न बीजं नाभ्यपाद्यत कर्मधि। एवं पृष्टो महादेवा गुरुभूत भावना अयमाना प्रश्न बीजं। माताजी श्री भगवान उवाच एवं पृष्टो महादेवा जम्भूत भावना दायमाना प्रश्न बीजं आपे पर्देय कर्मते। श्री भगवान उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इट सेड एवं दस पृष्ठ क्वेश्चन्ड महादेव द ग्रेट गॉड ब्रह्मा स्वयंभू without material birth, born directly from the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Bhuta, of all conditioned souls. Bhavana, the creator of the conditioned life. Dhyayamana, seriously considering. Prashna, of the question. Bijam, the essential truths. Na abhyapadyata, did not reach. Karmadhihi, intelligence bewildered by his own activities of creation. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, Brahma himself, who is born directly from the body of the Lord and who is the creator of all living entities within the material world, being the best of the demigod, seriously contemplated the question of his son headed by Sanaka. The intelligence of Brahma, however, was affected by his own activities of creation. And thus, he could not discover the essential answer to this question." Purported by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted three verses from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. In the 9th chapter, verse 32, Lord Krishna blessed Brahma with realized knowledge of the Lord's actual form, qualities and activities. In the 9th chapter, verse 37, the Lord ordered Brahma to rigidly carry out the Lord's injunctions and affirmed that Brahma would thus never be bewildered in this cosmic decision making. In the 6th chapter, verse 34, Lord Brahma assured his son Narada, "O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter." In the present verse, in this 13th chapter of the 11th canto, Lord Krishna states that Brahma unfortunately did become bewildered by his creative functions, thus providing a grave lesson to all of the Lord's empowered representatives. Although one may be elevated to an exalted position in the Lord's transcendental service at any moment, there is danger of false pride polluting one's devotional mentality. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Andeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavasya Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitasya Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Rundavaneshwari Rushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, Brahma himself, who is born directly from the body of the Lord and who is creator of all living entities within the material world, being the best of the demigods, seriously contemplated the question of his sons headed by Sanaka. The intelligence of Brahma, however, was affected by his own activities of creation, and thus he could not discover the essential answer to this question. Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you for the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something on this wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this verse we can see actually this is a great lesson which we are learning, and Brahmaji is the cause of this teaching. He is teaching us through his lesson. And if we see in this material world also, if any ordinary person makes any mistake or does anything good also, how many people come to know about it? Suppose we do something good, you know, probably some devotees here, they may know about it, but it will not be known for the masses. But if some great devotee or great person, great personality, who is a very famous person, if he does something, immediately all the social media and other medias, they pounce upon to that news, and that is pictured, that picture or the videos are published all across the channels, that so and so person has done so and so thing. And it, you know, people remember that okay, so and so person. So whether it is good or bad, whatever they do, it is known to all the people in the world. Now similarly here, we have to understand that Brahmaji is one of such great personalities, and because he is such a great personality, Krishna is using him to teach us the lessons. So many times, many incidents which take place in Brahmaji's life, and sometimes we may feel that, okay, how this person is doing such a wrong thing. But we should understand that it is just for our teaching, and we cannot compare ourselves with Brahmaji. So this disclaimer we should always remember. So we'll just try in our some whatever time we have, that we will discuss how great is, first of all, what is the greatness of Brahmaji. So that is one part we will discuss. And then we'll talk about some of the case studies of, from the life of Brahmaji or Indra also, where they have faced some such situations. And then we can discuss, because another main important thing in this is about is false pride. So we'll discuss what is false pride, what are the causes of this false pride, what are the symptoms, and how do we, what are the effects, and how do we try to cure this false pride. So in this verse, in the purport, actually it is said, Srila Juga Goswami actually is giving three accounts of the greatness of Brahmaji. First is in the, he refers to 2.9.32 from Bhagavatam, that Lord Krishna blessed Brahma with realized knowledge of the Lord's actual form, qualities and activities. So this is one important thing, that Lord Brahma is actually been gifted with realized knowledge. And we are here to struggle to understand, first of all to understand the knowledge and to get to the realized knowledge. We may have theoretical knowledge, theoretical concepts, but the realized knowledge will come only when we learn from the scriptures and when we try to practice it in our life, then we get realizations. But Brahmaji is already having that. And second thing is mentioned that he is the cause of the creation of all living beings. And the greatest among the demigods. So that is his position. We may become proud of some small things, like, somebody has built Taj Mahal, somebody has built Eiffel Tower, or any seven wonders of this material world on the earth planet. And we become proud about this. The countries become proud. But he is the cause of creation of all living beings. Then third thing, which also is mentioned, that he says that, O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet. So he's now telling Narada, convincing Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, with great zeal, that is enthusiasm, with great enthusiasm, whatever I say has never proved to have been false, or is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by the temporary attachment to matter. So he is doing so many things, but he is giving all the credit to Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is taking, so he is doing the preaching, and that preaching also he is taking complete shelter, and he has unflinching faith and confidence in the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we all know, like many times in the morning we recite Brahma Samhita, and where Brahmaji is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is glorifying Govinda. So, but still, Brahmaji is suffering the agitation of the mind on account of duties he has to perform. Now, this is another important thing, that when somebody is involved in passionate activities or the activities which is mode of passion, naturally, you are so engrossed in those activities, and there is a tendency of getting bewilderment. When we are in the mode of goodness, like we can see the farmers or people who are staying in the villages. Do you see that them using any calendar? We have mobile phones and we have calendars. And in the city of Mumbai, we are engrossed in so many activities, you tend to forget so many things. Sometimes our daily routines also. And we have to maintain all these things. And, that is because of the mode of passion, the activities which we are doing in the mode of passion. So here in this verse, actually it is mentioned that when his sons, the all four Kumaras and headed by Sanaka, he is asking this question. That, what was his question? What are the means of driving away desires of sense gratification? And this question was asked to Brahmaji, and Brahmaji was incapable of giving this answer. So many times, in Grihastashram at least, when there are small children, they come and ask so many questions. And then the parents, they themselves don't know what answer I should give. And so they try to give some kind of answer so that the child get convinced, or at least stop troubling them. That is the way the parents treat normally. Unless until somebody who is really evolved parent, they try to tell them truthfully that, okay, I don't know, I'll come back to you. And sometimes even when we are doing preaching also, there are certain questions which come to us, and especially we are a new preacher and we don't know the answer, what exactly is the answer. And we concoct, because we want to prove the point, we want to win in that battle of question and answer, and we may say something. But the real humility is that this was one of the training points when we undergo some kind of mentor training or a counselor training. It is told and taught to us that, okay, if you don't know the answers, tell truthfully, tell the people that, okay, you don't know the answers, and you will come back to you. And people will feel that, this person is genuine. So that is very important. And that's exactly is Brahmaji is doing. So he was not knowing the answer, and in order to receive some insight on this matter, he is taking shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he is taking the shelter, the Lord incarnates in the form of Hamsa. The swan incarnation, the Lord appears here. So these are like some of the points. There are many other points which we can think of how, what are the greatness of Brahmaji. So Krishna is watching over people whom he gives special serious responsibilities. So that is a special mercy of Krishna. Krishna is actually looking upon these great personalities. And one of such personalities is Indra, and who is diligently performing his duties. But Krishna saw that there was some pride. Indra was very opulent, influential, great power. And he was managing the affairs of universe also. But still he became pride. And we all know from the various pastimes, Govardhan Leela is the best example. Where Krishna actually tells, little Krishna actually tells the Brajavasis that you need not, offer anything to Indra, which was their every year ritual was there. They were offering everything to Indra. And he tells that now, this year onwards, you should start offering to Govardhan. So this is a small instruction which is given by Krishna. And Brajavasis having love and faith for Krishna immediately start following that instruction. And what happens is that this is where actually Krishna pricks the pride of Indra. He starts feeling that, oh, these people, so far they were giving it to me, and suddenly this small boy. Now Indra knows that who is Krishna, but he is bewildered in that condition, and he says that this small boy is asking, and because of this people are now started offering to Govardhan, who is just a mountain. So now Krishna, now Indra wants to teach a lesson to Brajavasis. And the whole pastime takes place. He starts, invites the rains, and heavy rains take place. And then at that moment, all the Brajavasis, they start looking at Krishna. That you told us, and see now what is the condition. Now please, you give us the shelter. And that's where Krishna lifts the Govardhan, and all these Brajavasis are just taking shelter of Govardhan and Krishna. So Indra tries so many things, so much of heavy rains, rainfall is happening, but not a single drop of water touches neither Krishna nor to any Brajavasis. Even the animals, the cows and other animals, they are also completely under the shelter of Krishna. So nobody, whatever Indra tried, he could not touch or affect any of this. So gradually Indra realizes that I have no power, nothing is left. I tried so much, but I cannot do anything. I cannot go against the will of Krishna. So Krishna is teaching Indra, and we all know then Indra had to take shelter of Surabhi cow, and then she approached the Lord. So that is one aspect. Another thing, another incident also, we all know about how Indra, when he was going on Airavat, and Durvasmani offered the garland to Indra. And what did Indra do? Out of his pride, he was in the high position, walking on Airavat, high position, and he removed that garland and put it around the Airavat elephant. And the elephant, as they don't realize the value of such garlands, even by the sadhus, he removes and put it on the ground and tramples upon it. So, by doing this, he is disrespecting it. So, Durvas Muni curses Indra. And this may appear to be a small incident, but see the impact, the degradation of all the demigods, their defeat starts, and they are all defeated by the Asuras, led by Bali Maharaj. So, this false ego is the root of all the anarthas are stimulated. And Krishna is very merciful, and he understood that the Indra's spiritual advancement was being blocked by the pride. And because of this, he orchestrated all this events in their life. Similarly, if we look at the Brahmaji's pastime also, Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Brahmaji sees that Krishna is playing with his gopas and they are eating from each other's tiffin box, from each other's mouths. They are taking out from each other's mouth and eating. And Brahmaji gets bewildered, thinking that who is this small boy? You know, he cannot be a supreme personality of Godhead because he's doing such kind of pastimes. He's eating from each other's tiffin. Jhuta kha rahe. So he gets bewildered, and then the whole pastime takes place. He takes away all these cows and keeps them in the cave. And again, the whole pastime, will not go in details of this, but this is one of the things. Similarly, once in another pastime, Brahmaji feels that, you know, I am the only Brahma. And when he visits Krishna, when he visits Vaikuntha, he's questioned that, you know, at the gate they are asking him that, who are you? So he says that, tell Krishna that I am the four-headed Brahma. And again Krishna defeats his pride, showing him that how many Brahmas, how many different universes are there, and how there are different types of Brahma, much, much bigger from his size, who has done much, much better things than him, and having many heads than just the four heads. So these are the things which Krishna is doing to reduce this pride. But there are some lessons which we can learn from Brahmaji, and I thought that we should discuss upon that also. So one thing which we can learn from is that how much ever we may think that we are great, we will be tested. And not that it will be tested once, but will be tested again and again. So, you know, this Brahmaji or Indra's, these pastimes, they have gone through, their pride was taken away or it was burst, but still, you know, they were just again and again, pride kept coming. And so similarly, one can get affected. Second, an important thing which we can learn from Brahmaji is his genuine humility. So Brahmaji is ready to accept his shortcomings. In this pastime also, his children, Sanak, you know, he is his son. And he is asking the question and he is ready to accept that, oh, I don't know. So this is one of his genuine humility. So this teaches us that even in front of our juniors, so-called juniors, we don't know who is really junior to us, but by age or qualification, sometimes we may put that as a criteria. We should be ready to accept our mistakes or our shortcomings. So that is another thing which requires great humility and courage to accept it. Third thing, which is also there, that Brahmaji, when he got the knowledge from the Lord, he thought that now I have received this knowledge. He became so grateful. He said that I want to serve you. I want to serve your devotees. And Brahmaji came in the form of a hill. So we all know that Barsana Dham, where Shriji's temple is there. So there are four hills are there. These four hills are nothing but Brahmaji's four heads. So they are called, they are four forts. One is called Bhanagad, another is Dhanagad, the third is Vilasgad, and fourth is Mangad. So these are all four heads of Brahmaji. So he is taking that humble position. And why it is humble? So one of the classes in when we go to Barsana, in Vishwaroop Prabhu was mentioning that this is not ordinary, because all sort of people, animals, birds, they walk on these hills. Their foots are falling on the hills. So we have to be careful when we go to Barsana. We are walking on the head of Brahmaji. Not only just walking, people are walking on that. They are urinating, passing stools. So it's really humiliating. Imagine this kind of a position. Somebody is doing on our head. But Brahmaji is taking that kind of a position. Then Brahmaji also comes in the age of Kali Yuga. He comes as Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur. And he takes birth in a very lowly family. Family of Malechas. He takes birth there. And undergoes so much of humiliation by so many kings and people. But he becomes a Namacharya. He takes shelter of the Lord's holy name. And one of the important point is also there is that Brahmaji's, all these pastimes are eternally captured in the pastimes in Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So imagine it is written, if something happens, some humiliation happens to us and it is permanently written and people are reading it again and again, people are hearing it again and again. So he is willing to, you know, participate in such things. He was ready to undergo humiliation in the mission of Lord. So there are various such personalities who take that position. Just like in a drama, somebody, like one of our devotees also, they become villain. Somebody has to become Hiranyakashipu. Somebody has to become Narasimhadev. But they just take the role. Similarly, Brahmaji is taking that role. Indra is also taking that role. Bhishma also taking similar roles. And another thing which we can learn from Brahmaji is that in spite of so many setbacks, you know, his devotional service did not stop. He did not say that, okay, so much of humiliation, so much of, you know, targeted thing for me and let me stop this. He did not stop. He just continued to perform his devotional service. Sometimes when something happens to us, somebody speaks something to us and we get so much disturbed, sometimes we leave the devotional service. Sometimes we leave the association of devotees. But that didn't happen with Brahmaji. And he is teaching us that Krishna is the ultimate shelter. In any of the pastimes of Brahmaji, let it be the pastime of Hiranyakashipu, where he gave so many boons to Hiranyakashipu. And then he realized that what Hiranyakashipu is doing, and I have no other option, he did not just fight with Hiranyakashipu, that let me fight with Hiranyakashipu. He just went and took the shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. You know, the demigods, they defeated Bali Maharaj. They were defeated by Bali Maharaj. And then they came to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji again took all of them to Lord Krishna. And in this pastime also here, the sons are asking questions and he is not able to answer. And he is going to the Lord who has come in the form of answer. So now we will try to discuss about what is pride. So in Krishna Leela, there is a pastime which we must have heard many times, the pastime of killing of Keshi. So Keshi is also, he represents this pride. No? So Keshi came as a mad horse, was representation of all devouring horse of death. And what is this Keshi representing? Keshi is representing as, I am an advanced devotee. And what I have achieved, that is what the Keshi is representing. And the horses normally, they have high tail, high speed. And they look also handsome. You know, which are like, for pride, these are like one of the reasons, some of the reasons where the pride comes. So he actually represents that here. So when Keshi was attacked, he attacked Krishna. And when he attacked, Krishna actually picked up his hind legs, he whirled him and threw him. But so as it represents pride and false ego, it came back. The Keshi came back again to attack Krishna. But second time, then Krishna put his hand in the mouth of Keshi, and all his tooth, they were uprooted. This is the extraction which happens, you know, for the dentist. So first dentist and the first person to get extraction. So Keshi's all teeth were removed. And this is not, you know, it's a broken teeth. There is nothing to be proud about broken teeth. Somebody whose teeth are gone will not feel proud that, okay, that I am giving smile and people will feel happy. So he removed the pride of Keshi and he killed. Of course, Keshi was killed. That is how he was killed. So, Maya's trick is that, you know, whatever stage of devotional service, she is just around there, just seeing that opportunity when I can pounce, when I can capture this particular devotee and trap in that trap so that the person becomes proud. So even in devotional service, it's not that one can be proud about other things, but one can become proud of our own service also. Somebody may feel that, okay, sometimes we do good chanting, very attentive chanting, we are not sleeping, and we feel good, and immediately that pride comes that, okay, so I have achieved nice chanting session. Sometimes we may give nice lectures, nice class, and people will start appreciating. That can give us pride. Sometimes we can do wonderful, beautiful dressings of the Lord, very unique way, and one can become proud of that. Sometimes cooking, management, so many things. So this false ego is there to tell us that we are great and to make us proud at every moment. So pride, in one sense, is cheating oneself and cheating others also. So cheating oneself is that we know, we should understand, ideally we should understand that we are not the doers. And whatever capabilities, capacity what we have is been given by Krishna. So it is cheating ourselves that, no, okay, I am the doer. And cheating others, make others feel that, okay, no, I am the person, I have done this so much. So pride is cheating oneself and cheating others. And we feel that we are controlled. But we are actually borrowing all this power from the Lord. Then there is bragging. We brag about ourselves. So I was reading one of the management book, and in that also they were talking about corporate bragging. So corporate bragging is like when people go, many times they talk about how busy I am. You know, I have this much appointment, I'm working since morning till night, and I have very less time, I eat lunch, it's working lunch, so much of struggle I am putting, and I don't reach home before 12 o'clock, I hardly sleep. So there are so many things. So we may brag, not only in the corporate, but in, you know, our services also, we sometimes talk about this. We sometimes indirectly talk about what position I hold. We may talk about our services. I am doing so many services, you know, this service, that service, here my name is available, is written in all the services, all the committees, my names are there. We talk about, I am busy, our business, actually our real business is serving the Lord and the devotees, but we talk about, instead of that business, we talk about how busy we are. So business and busyness, we talk about the busyness. So that kind of bragging. Then pride of self. So three types of prides. One is the most degraded is pride of self, that, oh, I am the doer, I can do so many things. Then there is a pride which is at this another level, which is pride of others. You know, we could be proud about our family members, our children, our parents, society, sometimes country. So pride can be of others also. And the third level of pride is of, which is the highest level of pride, that the pride of being connected with Krishna and servant of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So that is the highest level of right kind of a pride. So pride is basically, in one sense, is a lifestyle disease. So we need to keep, like how we, like a person who is suffering from heart ailments or, you know, having blood pressure or sugar, they are all lifestyle diseases. They keep checking, we need to keep checking our blood pressure or our sugar levels. But similarly, we need to keep checking our pride pressure. So what are the causes, you know, we need to understand, what are the causes of pride? So Srila Prabhupada mentions in various purports about what are the causes of pride. So one is about high birth. So taking birth in a high family or a high family is can be a cause of pride. We can see from the past time when all these, when Krishna and Balram, they were in Vrindavan, they are playing, and they saw that the yajna is performed by the Brahmanas. And then they sent the Gopas, their friends, that please go and get, we are hungry. So please ask them that if they can give us something to offer. Now, yajna is performed for the satisfaction of the Lord. But the Lord himself was there, but they are not willing to give them. They are saying they are busy in their rituals. They are educated, their knowledge was there, knowledge of scriptures, everything was there. But they were having that kind of pride that, okay, we are doing this kind of yajna, so it is not meant for Krishna, Balram and other gopas. It is only for their own purpose. So they were pride. So pride of taking birth in a high family can be cause of pride. Not only just taking birth in the family, but sometimes we are proud of taking birth in country. Like somebody who is born in America will talk so much, and through so many movies and so many articles, it is showed to the people that, you know, being in America or this particular country is the matter of pride. You know, so people, that's why many times try to, okay, let me go and settle there. That's the place. So I have this card, green card, that is like shown, displayed. So that can be a cause of pride. And then they treat others who are probably born in small countries like maybe, I don't know, Bhutan, Bangladesh or Cambodia. You know, which are comparing very small countries, and they say that treat them, whom do you belong to? So this is one cause of pride. Second is wealth. Somebody who is having wealth can potentially become, there are good chances that can become proud. Not all people who are wealthy are proud, but it is the potential pitfall. So we see this from the example of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. They were sons of Kuvera. Bade Baap ke Bete, as we call in Hindi. So they were like that. And because of their pride, they were not, even when Narad Muni comes, they are not bothered to pay respect to him. The third cause is the knowledge. And we see from Chaitanya Charitamrita how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu destroys the pride of Keshav Kashmiri. So he was considering himself as Digvijayi, that I can defeat anyone in the knowledge. And he was defeating, and his yatra of defeating others, scholars, was defeated when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Beauty. Sometimes people feel that, oh, I am so beautiful. But is that really that beauty? Have you made yourself when you are born? and then you said that, okay, let me change my how I look. It is not in our hand. We are born either beautiful or we are born either ugly. It is not in our control that how we come. And we see that how even the Kamdev was so proud about his beauty. And he tried to destroy, he was trying to defeat Krishna and the gopis. But Krishna, just by his glance on Kamadev, his ego, he was defeated. Kamadev was defeated in the beauty. Another thing which can cause pride is the position. So Krishna knows that when you get, especially management, authority, when you get power, prestige, the tendency is to become proud. And the number one worst enemy of the devotee is this pride. But we have to understand that all these things are valid, all these causes, all this high birth, wealth, knowledge, beauty, all this position, all these are available only when we are available in this material body. Till this material body lasts, this can last. As soon as it ends, you know, all these causes of pride will get destroyed. So, what are the symptoms? How do we see that these symptoms? So, His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who is the disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he had made wonderful, written wonderful article on Kanishta Society to Madhyama Society. And from that, there are a few points which I felt was, which are the right symptoms which we can see as the symptoms of pride. So how do we identify that we have these symptoms? That one is that lack of Vaishnava etiquettes. As soon as we become proud, the Vaishnava etiquette starts degrading. So gradually that Prabhu part goes and only the first name remains. So and so. So like this is just a simple example. Sometimes we do, when we are friends, then we can call like that. But that slowly, that may also go down. The other thing which he talks about is that quarrelsomeness which comes because of envy. And this is again, the envy comes from pride. Then one can start competing with each other. That how I am greater than you. To prove that point, one may start competing with each other. That, okay, I have sold more books than what you have sold. I have distributed so many books. So there may be a competition. Now, sometimes competition can be positive, but it can be a negative competition if it is not done in the right spirit. Then a person may pretend to become, to be more advanced than he or she is actually is. So that is also the symptom, that you are actually not so advanced, but you are just being with some great devotees, senior devotees, and then you try to show that, you know, that you are more advanced. They conceal the shortcomings and develop secretive mentality. So one who is proud, falsely, he will try to conceal his shortcomings. He will not show his shortcomings to others. So that people have to have a great impression about me. And the most important thing is that, you know, we have to have association of equals. That doesn't happen. And because of that, there is no right feedback which is coming to us. Somebody, sometimes the equals, they come and tell us that, okay, Baba, cool down. You are bahut hawa mein ud rahe ho. Come down to the ground level. So, wo bolne ko koi rehta hi nahi hai, because, you know, we are actually keeping that distance from that. This person will come and give me feedback. Don't do this. So, we don't want that. So, not willing to accept some good advice. And sometimes this person starts finding faults in others. So when we start realizing that, am I finding faults in others? So why this tendency of finding faults?
to show other, to convince yourself that I am better than that person. He has so many faults and I don't have any faults. So, trying to be at the superior level. And another aspect very interestingly is that due to immaturity, this person identifies spiritual advancement with organizational advancement. So, he starts feeling that, oh, sometimes we are given some responsibilities to become, to take position. You become part of, let's say, part of COM or part of EC or part of, you become a counselor or a mentor. Some kind of designations are given so that we should, the purpose is to serve. But then we start feeling that, oh, I am so and so, I am the president of the temple or I am whatever it is. And he feels, start feeling, oh, now I have got this position, so that means I am advanced. I did not have this position, but now I have got this position, so I have become more advanced. That's why I have been given this position. So, but it is not like that. It is for, meant for the service. And this person, another last symptom which we see is that this person starts straying away from the path of devotional service. So these are the symptoms of the pride. Then, what are the effects of pride? One effect which we can see is that it attracts envy. Owner's pride and neighbor's envy. We have been hearing this in many classes and right from childhood in on the TV whenever we were watching TV. Those who are coming from that age group. And you become proud because, oh, I have got so and so things, you know, I have got nice car, and that could be the cause of envy or jealous in the heart of the neighbors or people who are around us. So it is not necessary that, you know, you get a position or your particular service, people will start appreciating, everybody will start appreciating. There will be people who will become envious, and especially it is not just the position, but if you are proud about it and boasting about it, that, oh, I am so and so, then automatically that envy will come. The second thing will happen is also, effect is that you start coming offenses. You know, Durvasa Muni, so many offenses have taken place in the Shastras, so many cases are there. Durvasa Muni was offending Amrish Maharaj. And we all know what happens, that ultimately he had to take shelter of Krishna. But Krishna told again, you have to go and beg for forgiveness from Amrish Maharaj. So it makes us blind that, you know, whom are we talking to and how we don't bother about it. So this is an offense which can be an effect of pride. And this pride, it's not that, you know, it is in this lifetime itself only. The pride can come in our next lifetime also. So, Mahatma Prabhu in one of his presentation, one of his illumination, he actually talks about Daksha. That Daksha was proud and he treated Shiva, Lord Shiva, humiliated him. And his, at the end of the pastime, his head was cut off, Daksha's head was cut off. But the next birth, again, he offended, because of his pride, he offended Narad Muni. So the pride continues. It's not that these are the anarthas, this is one of the anarthas, which will continue in our next life to also to haunt us. So it's like a terrorist, you know. The terrorist comes and it destroys us. So the most grave effect which can happen is that like poles repels, like Krishna will leave that place. Wherever the pride is there, Krishna doesn't want to stay there. If you invite Krishna to stay in our heart, Krishna will not come, because wherever there is pride, Krishna doesn't want to stay there. So, we can see the pastime of gopis and Srimati Radharani. At some point of time, of course, we cannot compare with ourselves. At some point of time, they had a pride. Again, this is Krishna, they are teaching us. But we cannot compare our pride with their pride. But they, for them also, Krishna, when he saw that there is a tinge of pride, he said, I don't want to be here. And Krishna left them. And only Krishna returned only when the pride was gone. So, this is the most dangerous thing to happen, that Krishna will leave, will not stay there. So now we'll conclude with the cure of how to overcome this pride. So, for this we have to do three things. One is to first is awareness. Awareness is comes by the right knowledge, right source of knowledge. When we read scriptures from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and many other books which are there, given by acharyas. So right knowledge is one of the most important things. Now what is the right knowledge? That we are not the proprietor and controller, but the Krishna is the proprietor. So that knowledge comes from the scriptures by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Awareness comes by self-examination. We have to see that where we stand, where the pride is. So this is awareness. The second thing which we should be acceptance. We have to be honest that the pride exists. So the pride is like the iceberg. The iceberg, what we can see on the surface of the sea or the water body is only a small part. And there is so much of iceberg which is below the water body. So that is not visible. So sometimes our pride is visible for people to see, and we can also see. But there is so much of subtle things which are there, which are still below the water, which is not visible. So we have to be honest and able to see that there is pride much more than what we anticipate. And acceptance comes from our readiness to accept feedbacks given by the devotees. This is a very, very important aspect. Now, that doesn't mean that we start giving feedbacks to others that, okay, you are proud. And we should not start judging people that, okay, this person may appear to be proud because the way he walks or the way he looks. It's not like that. But we have to do introspection. And the third thing is the application. That we have to start defining the behaviors. What are the behaviors which we should do or should not do so that we don't become proud? So here I have mentioned, I have made something like ABCD. So the A stands for appreciate and celebrate the success of others. So even the smallest of the things, if somebody is doing, we should be ready to accept it. Sometimes we do not like the person so much, but still, you know, we have to have that tolerance and be ready to accept that what kind of contribution that person is doing. The second is B. The B is be eager to serve. Whether to serve in forefront or background, it really doesn't matter. Sometimes we have an understanding that if you are in a forefront, that means we are not humble. But we have to take that position based on the instructions of the authorities. If they tell us that you have to do this, you might as well do this because you are the right person to do this, and that's why you are doing it. So that is not pride. So that is very important when we take up this position of doing the service, whatever it may be. The third is C, that is conscious acts of humility and common visible menial services. So here I personally felt very inspired when I heard this many years back, when His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, he was washing pots in Kartik Yatra. I think it was Mayapur Yatra. And people asked him, devotees asked him that, oh, that, you know, you are doing so much of wonderful service, menial service, in spite of being at such a great position, you are doing this. And it may get published. People will talk about it. But his answer was that, I don't know, he has actually written a poem also on this. But he says that, whatever people say may say good things, they may say bad things, but I just want to continue to do this service. So sometimes, you know, we may have a position, we may reach at that position, but this humble menial services are very important, which we are doing at the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. These are the things which keeps us happy, you know. So sometimes we feel that, okay, now I am such a great senior devotee that now I should not be dancing in the kirtan. But that is the root of our movement of Sankirtan. Today I felt very happy when I was pulled in the Sankirtan which was happening. Devotees were pulling me and I was very happy, very blissful. At some point of time I was little tensed that no, I have to give class, I have to prepare, and you know, whether I will remember everything or not. So again I was thinking, being proud that, you know, I am the doer. Only if I am remembering then I can speak. But it was so blissful just being part of this Sankirtan. And in our Bhaktivedanta hospital where we work, we have opportunity, you know, to do once in a year of maha cleaning, where all the doctors, nurses, staff members, directors, managers, everybody actually comes to the floor and they actually clean the entire hospital. It's a wonderful opportunity which we get. It is not about clicking the photographs with, you know, the brooms and everything, but it is about actually cleaning. And you feel so blissful when you do start doing. They are the best days of our Krishna conscious life. And if you look at our beginning years of our Krishna consciousness, we see so many wonderful things. You may be standing on the prasadam, you are serving prasadam, you know, sambar and rice and whatever you are serving. And you are just happy doing those services. So it's not that we have to stop doing this, stop doing the higher services which are there. Actually, there is no difference between any service. It pleases the Lord. So we have to think of these things. And the fourth thing, the D part, so ABC we discuss, and the D is that don't take praises seriously. So when we do such menial services or great services, people will come and glorify us that, you know, you are doing such a wonderful services, such a wonderful class and all those things. But don't take the things seriously because that goes in our head. So that's what which we need to do. So three things which I feel which are the practical things which we can do for introspection. One is that we should start thinking, we should think about things we should start doing from today. Okay, let me start these things. Let me stop these particular things and let me continue doing certain things. So if we categorize into these three things, start, I'm going to start so and so things from today. I'm going to stop which is not favorable for my service. And third is continue. I've been doing this for many years or in my devotional service and I'll continue doing this. So if we start, we categorize these three things, it becomes a practical application of our spiritual life. So we should be careful, we should not pray to the Lord that let me not become proud, because we are already proud, because Krishna will laugh at us if we say that let me not become proud. And whatever all these things we are discussed, this will not remove the pride. The pride will be removed by Krishna himself. And these are the things which we will do in our life just to show to Krishna that we are sincere and serious to connect with him and his devotees and to remove that pride. So one statement which I read, spoken by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and he says that most transformative qualities are humility and pride, but they transform in opposite ways. So this was a very, very inspiring and thing which I felt about this pride. So I'm really not qualified to speak here, and these are not my realizations, whatever I spoke. whatever I heard from my senior God brothers and spiritual master, I have just repeated here. Please forgive me if I have said something beyond my realizations and something which may be not be right also. Thank you very much for your patience and tolerance. Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.